Are you ready for a second cup of the morning blend? Here's David and Brenda.
Oh, and it is a great second cup topic that I found today. So, David, let me ask you if this ever happens to you. You're upstairs working on something and you go, oh, that reminds me, I've got to go do something.
Right.
So maybe you stop, you get a drink of water, and then you go to the room where you were going to get that thing and you go, what did I stop in here for?
Why was I going in here? Oh, sure, absolutely.
That happens to me. And then the next thing that hits my mind is, Is this it? Is there something wrong? I can't remember. And it seems the older you get, the more often that type of thing happens. And you go, why am I not as sharp? I can't go to the grocery store for a special dinner or especially the holiday cooking without a list.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it just happened on Friday. I went to the store on the way home from work. And we were going to have brats and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sea breezes for evening cocktail.
Yeah.
I remembered the limes and I checked out. No cranberry, the main ingredient. I didn't have a list. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that keep our minds sharp. Now, this doesn't include those that suffer. I mean, there are Alzheimer's and dementia,
sure,
those things that are difficult, but these are for the most of us.
Yeah.
Are things that will kind of help us maintain a sharper mental state as we age.
I'm big on lists, by the way.
Are you?
I'm always, because.
Okay, well,
I'll,
you're
going to
want to write these things down. So, and these are actually, researchers have identified some straightforward strategies to kind of ward off that cognitive decline as a person grows older. So, here's the first one. And I think this is definitely more of a broader idea, but they say take a walk.
Oh, yeah.
And it says regularly going on a walk is one of the most reliable ways to keep your brain sharp as you age. Either enjoy a scenic forest or simply a stroll through the neighborhood.
We're big on walks.
You do.
Yeah.
And I find, too, if I come home, I take, you know, maybe get a snack, eat a late lunch or something, and then go straight out for a walk, my ability to keep up kind of activity throughout the evening increases by a lot.
Right.
I think the idea of taking a walk, though, may be an overall theme of keeping your body exercised, trimmed, and eating right.
Yeah. And keeping the blood flowing and doing all those good things. Absolutely.
The second thing that researchers have found, spend time with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
While you're walking, invite a friend along. Maintaining strong social networks is linked to slower cognitive decline.
So, you know, have you ever heard about the blue zones?
No, what's that?
So blue zones are these communities throughout the world that are like the healthiest people living in these blue zones. And one of the elements of the blue zone is community. It's a big part of it. Yep.
Oh,
huge,
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And again, having that community around, not only planning a time to meet with people, kind of gets you excited knowing that, oh, I'm going to be able to see my friend. We're going to catch up on things. Gets you excited for that. And then having that time with them is so important. This one, it seems very obvious also. Read a book or read anything for that matter. Frequent reading is protective of cognitive function in later in life. Consider joining or starting a book club to get the full benefits of friendship and reading at the same time.
It's a great idea.
Here at Monster Day Radio, we are always reading a book together that strengthens our spiritual life and I think gives us things to talk about and how to grow in our faith. And of course, if you're going to spend time with your family, with your friends, spend time with the family.
Sure.
So living near your family as you age imparts 4 to 6 years of extra life expectancy, and it's good for your grandchildren or great-grandchildren who have lower rates of mortality and lower rates of disease. This, they call it the grandmother effect.
Ah,
nice. The grandmother effect. So the benefits are mutual. What you get out of it as the grandparent, spending time with them, and then being with your grandchildren, what they benefit from being near you.
Nice.
David, you never hesitate to show me beautiful pictures of that grandbaby yours.
Yep, she's a sweetheart.
They are joy.
Yeah.
They are absolute joy. So knowing, again, planning and knowing that time will be spent with your grandchildren. And this might take a little doing, of course, and we're not talking babysitting because that can be a stressor. But maybe just planning an opportunity, especially if you have a lot of grandchildren, one at a time.
Yeah.
One special date with grandma and grandpa today, maybe a little lunch, you know, maybe time. Take them to the dollar store and get them a little gift and walk around and laugh and look at things. It's great time spent.
I mentioned this before. In fact, not long ago, one of my favorite summer memories was going over to my grandma and grandpa's house, sitting on the front porch and having fresh peach pie that my grandma made. Beautiful memory. And
that
just sitting
pie,
there.
I think is good for the health overall. That sounded wonderful.
Yeah.
David, we talk about that and do that in our family. When our kids were old enough to travel on their own when they were teenagers, or if one of us was going on a trip, we would take one of the kids to San Diego to see my mom and dad.
Yeah, nice.
And we've even done it where we've flown down together, me and one of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come home and the child stay with them.
Yeah.
For a little while, and then my parents brought them back a little while later, a week or two later.
It's fun.
And they absolutely, both my parents loved that, and all of the kids like, oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, keeps the grandparents young.
For sure. The next thing, and actually both of these kind of go right together. First, they say, head to church. Belonging to a faith community and attending service about four times a month is worth between 4 and 14 extra years of life expectancy. Who knew going to church was so good for you? And also, spending time outside of church talking to God, praying regularly is also associated with a lower risk of a mild congenitive impairment.
Yeah. So, see, there's more than meets the eye to that coffee and donuts after Mass.
That's right. Spending time with your friends.
That's it.
Spending time with God. And then lastly, and I think, again, back to the first one that we talked about, which was taking a walk, eat fish and vegetables. Fish and vegetables, so important. A Mediterranean diet, they call it, has long been associated with longevity for a long time. Now researchers have found that it is specifically the prevalence of fish and vegetables in the diet that is so beneficial.
Yeah.
Don't they say the longest living people on earth live in Okinawa?
Yeah.
And they have a predominantly fish and vegetable diet.
See, that's part of the blue zone that I was talking about. Mediterranean diet. My new app on my phone, Mediterranean Living.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
And blue zones, of course, refer to the fact that they live near the oceans?
Yeah. Well,
primarily,
not necessarily, but it is that culture of community, eating healthy, exercise, all of those things that are incorporated into it.
Oh, perfect. Well, this was a great article I pulled from Alatea.org. They have that article today. So if you want to listen back to this, our segment today, or read that article, I'll be sure to add a link when I put the podcast up on today's webpage.
You know what I got off my new app? A wonderful recipe for a Greek salad.
Oh,
it is so good.
I love salads these days quite a bit. So we hope you enjoyed today's Second Cup.